Very happy to have another segment in studio with Randy Couture. I say living legend, Randy, because someone once pointed out to me, if you say legend, that means you're dead. And I never realized that.
Be a tough interview if that was the case.
Randy, are you there? He's here talking about Bellator 154, Davis versus King Mo. King Mo, of course, also a OK State cowboy like Randy. That'll be at the Shark Tank SAP Center in San Jose on May 14th. It'll also be live on Spike TV. That is the main card. But, Randy, you also are a guy that very much supports our troops. We are on the American Forces Network worldwide, and you represent something called VOW, V-O-W. For people who don't know what that is, what is it?
Well, it's an initiative started by Spike TV and Bellator to create an opportunity for veterans or military personnel who are training in mixed martial arts to get a chance to fight on a nationally recognized card. On the undercard, there will be two service members fighting on the 14th, and that's part of Veterans Operation Wellness. They did this last year in Houston, and they're doing it again here in San Jose on the 14th. So, you know, I think there's a spirit that we share as soldiers. The combatives programs are pretty extensive now in all the services, but certainly in the Army and the Marines. And I think we share and look at life a particular way. And so giving them an opportunity to step out there on the big stage and fight.
And it's always this sort of irony of when you visit the troops, they're profusely thanking you when you're trying to thank them. It's like, no, just, I got on a plane. I'm staying in a nice hotel. You know, it's that weird dichotomy. And as someone who is in the Army, you understand that more than anybody, right?
Yeah, it is. It's strange. And, you know, some people, it's certainly nice to see the climate the way it is now for our guys that are coming back. And so, certainly so many of them that have been injured or dealing with PTSD. And those statistics are staggering. And certainly giving these guys an outlet, giving them a new purpose when they're not wearing the uniform anymore, creating an opportunity to get them back into fitness. I hear so many of them say, man, you should have seen me when I was in the Army. I was svelte. I was, you know, I was in great shape. Now I've kind of let myself go. Mm-hmm. Getting them back in the gym, they look good. They start to feel good, and they can deal with some of the things that they're dealing with, trying to get back in and be civilians again.
Day before the Super Bowl, I co-hosted an event for the Wounded Warriors Foundation, the NFL at College of San Mateo, and it was a flag football game with wounded vets. And I had a couple of them on the show, and one guy was a Marine from Texas. And he lost a leg, he lost an arm. The other arm was pretty much shriveled up, and his face was basically torn off. And, you know, I was talking to him about, you know, the sacrifice, and he said this country's worth it, this and that. But I thought, it's one thing to go into combat, but the bravery of coming out into public and trying to assimilate as you are. And he said, you know what, combat, we were kind of on rails, we were trained, it was our job. He said, yeah, you know, when he looked down, you look down and you have no arm, you have no leg, your face is on fire. I mean, I wouldn't think anybody would just give up at that point. And so I think about the bravery of trying to fight back. And I know you visit hospitals. What's it like? Because first of all, you have the celebrity, but you also are a fellow soldier.
Yeah, I wore the uniform in the 80s, 82 to 88. Fortunately, I never had to put my butt on the line. Mm-hmm. Unlike the guys now who are putting their butts on the line and fighting the fight since 9/11 and many of them coming back, you know, changed people. Many of them coming back missing limbs. We've got amazing technology and armament now, but the downside to that is these guys are living through things that soldiers never used to live through, and they have to pick themselves up and put themselves back together. And we train them to be impervious, to not complain, to march on, be soldiers. And now we come back, we take away all that support. Their platoon, their, you know, all the guys that they trained with, and just want them to be normal and go back into society. It's not that easy, and many of them struggle with that. So finding a way to connect with them, finding a way to listen to them, let them know it's okay. They can reach out for help, getting them back into fitness programs, helping them sleep, assessing whether they're using drugs and alcohol. Many of them get hooked on pharmaceuticals because they're going through many, many surgeries, getting fitted for
deep
prosthetics and all that sort of thing. So, you know, the VA and the medical tend to just slap a Band-Aid on it. Here, take this. This will help. Instead of really dealing with the issue. And so I think those are all things we as civilians can do to reach out to these guys and help them. Not just give them a pat on the back, but really kind of help them find a new purpose. Find a way to feel like they're working towards something and doing something meaningful again.
That's an interesting point you made about living through things they never lived through before. I never thought of it that way. We're speaking with Randy Couture, and let's talk a little bit now about MMA, and especially, of course, this Bellator fight, 154 at the SAP Center on May 14th, main card, Davis and King Mo. When the whole thing with Colin and not wanting to do promotions, how much of it is part of the game? You have to buy in, you have to promote fights, and how much of it was, do you think he said, I'm sick of being a little talking monkey everywhere?
I think it was something else going on there, frankly. I think there was a money grab. I think they announced that fight before he'd actually signed his bout agreement. That's my take on it. And so he asked for more money. He's already getting significant money, but in my opinion, as a fighter, the more, you know, if he gets more, great. He's setting the bar higher all the time for the fighters to get paid better and the promoters to give up a little more of what they're making. So that doesn't bother me at all. Conor's created that persona, like Tito did back in the day, as kind of the original bad boy that he's going to have to live up to. Whether he likes it or not, at some point I think he's not going to like it. And I've had that conversation with Tito before. Because Tito's genuinely a very nice guy. And so everybody expected him to be that bad boy everywhere he went. And I think that's what people are going to expect from Conor as well. So I think there was more to it than that. I think pulling him from the card and saying he wouldn't do the media stuff was kind of a cover for what was really going on. Just my take on it. But, you know, I think he has held their feet to the fire. He is the biggest star right now, and pulling him off that card and not giving him what he wants is going to definitely hurt them going into that event for 200. It's interesting.
Very interesting perspective, talking with Randy Couture. And what you're doing today, you're here, you're visiting some other places, doing some press, obviously drum up a little bit of interest in Bellator 154 at the SAP Center, Spike TV as well. I'm sure this is nothing compared to what you used to go through. Was there ever a moment on the road where you're like, I don't know what city I'm in. This is my 12th interview of the day. Did you ever get to the point where you almost snapped?
I have that all the time.
Like
I
right
travel
now.
A ton. You wake up in a hotel room in a strange bed and you got to remember where you're at and figure out where's the bathroom. Okay, which direction do I go? That happens all the time. And then eventually you kind of come to your senses and figure out where the latrine is and you head there. But that's a common occurrence. Travel schedule's always been crazy and continues to be crazy.
All right, I want to ask you something philosophical about the rim. As I mentioned on Radio Row for the Super Bowl, I had Hoyce Gracie in. He told me two things, and I think it kind of fits with the way he fights, but he told me two things that were very interesting. One, he said, I never, ever, ever have attacked. I only counterattack. And the other thing he said was, I'm not trying to beat you. I'm waiting for you to lose. Now, it's worked for him, but what when you hear that, what comes to your mind, Randy?
I think that's a very jiu-jitsu perspective. The kind of the path of least resistance, the way water flows, that's why they like fights where there's no time limits and things like that, because they're going to wait for you to get tired, to make the mistake, to extend yourself.
They use your momentum.
Put yourself in that bad position that ultimately gives them the victory. Obviously, it came from the opposite side of that as a wrestler. And King Mo and Phil Davis are both stellar wrestlers with great pedigrees. You're going to see a lot of action. Well, we're used to being called for stalling. You know, there's no waiting around to see what's going to happen.
Right.
And because you're generally on the receiving end of being taken down and put on your back in a wrestling match.
What is it, 2 points for stalling?
It can be up to the whole match if it continues. So it can cost you the match. It's a warning, then it's a point, then it's another point, then it's 2 points, and then the match is over. So, I mean, it can, especially in a close match, significantly change the outcome of the match.
Very cool. And one other thing I wanted to get to is that you have another project. We talked about Lost City of Gold, but tell us more about Rust Belt.
Rust Belt's a project we're trying to put together that has a little bit of an MMA theme to it, and similar kind of, not the same as Rocky, but it has kind of a Rocky-esque feel to it, which is why I fell in love with the script about 5 or 6 years ago. We're finally trying to put this package together and hopefully get this film made sometime this summer. Hope to shoot in Oklahoma, actually, because it's such a great wrestling state, and wrestling and MMA are kind of themes in the backdrop of the movie. Guy struggling, you know, was a great high school wrestler, never kind of made it, and then one thing happens, leads to another, and he ends up getting a shot, and you know, that makes the most of it. So hopefully we get get it all put together, and we get to make this film. Excited that Expendables 4 looks like it's going to happen and then greenlit for the fall sometime.
Very good in that as well. I'm glad you got that in as well. Bellator 154, want to remind everyone, it's at May 14th at the SAP Center in San Jose. Tickets are available. Also, if you can't get down to San Jose, check it out on Spike TV as well. It's the Hall of Famer, Randy Couture. Can't thank you enough for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
And hopefully we'll catch up again down the road.
Absolutely.
I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.